This is the BBC.
Scott Mills Daily for Friday starts now, includes an election special of Real or No Real, more damning evidence that we are running out of music, and we can finally discuss what's the naughtiest thing we've ever done. Scott Mills, BBC Radio 1. You alright?
Yeah, you.
Yeah, you. Not again.
We've got to stop that.
Yeah, you. You're a hung parliament.
Oh, I went off last night, didn't it? You swing 7% to the right.
Mm-hmm. You've got a small majority.
You hold in Darlington. Mm.
You've got a general election.
That's not your one.
Got any more?
You've gone down in South Wales.
All right.
That works on
many levels.
Yes.
So, this is what we were doing on Twitter last night. People seem to be enjoying it.
You know, there's some serious stuff going on, and
there is.
We're there doing this sort of tennis.
Childish. Yeah. Childish, if you like.
You serve the many, not the few. Okay, really, no more.
I really enjoyed our little Twitter spat last night very much.
Scott Mills.
Right, Chris has got something new for you. You know, every now and again he goes off and, no one really knows where he is. Well, this is what he does. Tell us all about it.
And it's fun, this one as well. So, you know, I do this thing for BBC iPlayer called the World's Most Extreme Festivals.
Yeah.
So I did one where I went to the Gathering of the Juggalos in Ohio, which was mind-blowing.
Yes.
It was such a weird experience to be part of, but it made for a good show.
You saw things you've never seen before.
Yeah. A lot of people bent over.
Yeah.
And then I went to the
Japan.
To Japan, yeah. Wow.
The Naked Man Festival.
To the Naked Man Festival. And that was an experience on a number of different levels. That was a much more painful experience for me. I had to try on a loincloth.
I've got that here, actually.
Well, I had to wear a loincloth.
Oh, they pull it up quite tight, don't they?
Yeah, they really do. That's a Japanese man putting on my loincloth for me.
Looks like a nappy.
Sort of hoisting it up. And so the latest one of these, when I last went away, I went to spring break in Cancun. Now, I've never been there either. I've never been to spring break. And wow, it was intense.
Yeah.
So this is for a show I do called The World's Most Extreme Festivals. It's on the Radio 1 channel of BBC iPlayer. I've just tweeted a link right now.
Okay.
And it's about us in spring break, partying hard, seeing what goes on there.
Right.
So if you're kind of intrigued about what spring break is and how it works...
Do you think it's going to make people, if they watch it, if they're thinking, I might want to go to spring break at some point, do you think it's going to make them want to go?
Yeah, I'm keen to... Because I've been... I'm kind of fine with not going again, but I definitely think I needed to go and see what happened there.
Right.
Because it's different to like Kavos and Malia and...
Yeah.
It's an extreme festival in its own right.
It's a lot of Americans, young Americans, high-fiving each other from what I gather and going, dude.
Yeah, it is. It's obviously very, very American. So very different to the other ones that I've done of these. If you're a fan of this, I should say, I've been told to say that it's not safe for work. So be careful where you watch it.
What happened to you?
If you download it, I've been told that you should be a little bit careful about where you're watching it.
Right.
Because there's... there's things in this which might not want other people to see you watching it.
Is there nudity from the start?
There's not like loads of nudity, but there's some. It's not safe for work. So Radio 1 channel, BBC iPlayer, you can download or watch it right now.
Okay, and if you see someone watching it before 9 p.m, obviously that's the watershed, so that's not allowed.
Yeah.
So have a word, tell them off, and if you need... Dob them in to me, because not before 9, please. Those are the rules.
Spring break. This was always on, Scott.
BBC iPlayer, World's Most Extreme Festivals.
Scott Mills.
And now, the next in our occasional series, Running Out of Music.
Yeah, I mean, it's not one for the lawyers, this. I think it's all just an accident, really. We're going to run out of music eventually. There's only a certain combination of notes in the world. Songs will start to sound similar to other songs. It's a problem for Radio 1.
Yeah.
We like new music here. When the new music starts to sound exactly like the old music, we have issues.
I'm surprised that music's been going for as long as it has.
It's actually been going on a very long time,
yeah,
music.
Like ages.
It
just seems to be cropping up more and more that this problem is reoccurring.
It is. So I should say, if you're a lawyer, stop listening now. Loads of people have been contacting the show with more examples of this, Scott. You ready to go?
Okay, what have you got?
New Selena Gomez, Bad Liar.
Just played it.
Sounds just like an old song. by Talking Heads. Psycho Killer.
Oh.
Hear that? Bass?
Yeah. Okay. Lawyer, stop listening.
Oh,
Gomez.
I'm trying.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Liam Payne. Strip that down.
Doesn't sound like anything else, does it? You know, I used to be one dick. I'm a freak. People
want me for one thing. That's not me. I'm not changing the way. Some people say it sounds like this. But she caught me on the counter. Wasn't me. Stomach
kissing on the sofa. Wasn't me. I even had her in the shower. Yeah, I can hear that. Yeah. I just want to have fun and get rowdy. One coke and Bacardi. Sipping like wasn't me. When
I
walk
inside the party. I mean, it's not exactly the same. She even caught me on camera. But the sort of shades of it, isn't it?
Kind of follows the same pattern, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, Camila Cabello. Crying in the game.
Oh, yeah, Camila.
I was like, what does this sound like?
And then.
It sounds like this. Christina Aguilera, Genie in a Bottle. It does, though.
I mean, it does, but. Is she not doing that on purpose? I think it's like
like a throwback.
Yeah, I think she's done it on purpose, but still proves that we're running out of music, because why would you need to do that otherwise?
One of our favourite songs at the moment, Paramore, Hard
Love.
Times. Now, this sounds like quite an old song, Scott. I don't know if you're familiar with their work. Duran Duran. This is Girls on Film.
Oh, wow.
You can tell I've had some help with this, right, Scott?
Stop. Selena Gomez explained with Grimmy this morning that she has approval from Talking Heads.
Oh.
So that one's fine. Yeah, but why did you need to do it? It's running out of music. Get your own melody.
Worth having to clear that up, though, right?
Absolutely.
The Vamps and Matoma.
Are we running out of music? That's the question we're asking on Radio 1. What does this sound like?
Does it sound like Martin Garrix and Dua Lipa? Are we saying these two are sort of similar?
I didn't even notice the song had changed. Oh. Yeah, I can hear that. I mean, it's just a very similar sound. The sound of 2017.
Couple more, guys. Duke Dumont and Gorgon City.
Oh, this is new, isn't it? Danny Howe's playing this.
That's right. Sounds quite like the music that we talk over here at Radio 1. A thing called a bed.
Oh, yeah, I've talked over this loads.
Yeah. It does, though, doesn't it?
Well, those bits of music that we play are supposed to sound like the songs a bit, so... But, yeah, definitely can hear that.
I've saved the best for last.
OK, what have you got?
So there's a song by Arcade Fire called Everything Now, which
brand
was
new.
Mr Jam's former hottest record in the world.
Big song. It's got some pan pipes in it.
Now, this sounds like the Super Mario N64 menu music. It's niche, but it's there.
It's niche. Here's Arcade Fire. Definitely running out of music. Scott Mills. You know, last night, in so many town halls and libraries and village halls all over, there were thousands of people doing the very important job of counting all the votes up, which you still have to do by hand. It's like paper, you know, old school.
Yeah, it's paper.
One of my mates did it last night. Do you know you can volunteer to do it? Because obviously they need loads of people, because like every town hall will have these people in it.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, you get paid all right for it. You get there about 10. I think he left about 4 this morning. He absolutely loved it. He's going to do it again next year. Because you get to meet your fellow counters, they're all sat at the table.
Yeah.
And they all discuss, like, who's voted for what. Then you're not allowed your phone in there. Obviously, because if you're taking pictures, that'd be bad.
Fine.
But I've never really thought about this before. Some people don't just put a mark in the box of who they want to vote for. Some people on the form get very creative. as he was telling me this morning.
All right, and what was the number one choice for putting on the ballot paper?
Some, you know, like at school when you draw like a, on the paper.
Yeah,
with
of course, yeah.
That's those are on a lot.
More than you'd think.
A lot, actually, yeah.
So there's a lot of people effectively voting for that.
Well, they just draw a little, you know.
Fine.
Thing on. And then some people write an explanation, like because they're not happy with just ticking who they want. They're like, I like him because of he's got good policies, and like they feel like you have to give it like a proper explanation.
They're adding, you're just meant to put across, right?
Right, you are. But some people get very creative with it.
I'll tell you what I was wondering, Scott, with the ballot box situation last night. When I was watching the people in Sunderland, because they were trying to get there first, they were trying to get their results out quick, they had like a chain of people passing this box down. I was thinking to myself, is it not quicker for one person to just run with it?
I thought that as well. Why are you passing it down?
It's like, but literally to the person next to them.
I totally agree.
I thought it looked awesome, but if someone can explain why that's a quicker way, then also, what takes everyone else so long?
I know. Also, my mate was saying that some people were adding their own boxes and their own names of parties.
Really?
So one person put pasty party and then put a tick in the box for that.
Do you know what else I'd like to
disqualified.
Know? Disqualified. I don't know if you're even allowed to talk about it. Which never bodes well. But
that's not then.
If you spot a celebrity voting.
Yes.
Because I was hoping to catch someone round my one. You know, I was having a look around to see if there was anyone famous around there.
You can't pap them though, can you?
Well, you can't take photos because you haven't got your phone. No, but yeah, just
interesting
sort of intrigued.
One.
Yeah.
I always like to think, who would they vote for? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. A discussion we're not allowed to have.
That's right.
Scott Mills.
We were saying earlier, obviously, there's just been an election. Next one, whenever that is. Do you think they'd let us do the alternative commentary like we did for the Euros?
Well, I saw someone tweeted us about doing it, and then I saw that that tweet was getting quite a lot of traction.
Right.
So I messaged you and said, shall we do it?
Because by then, we were allowed to talk about it because the vote is closed, so you can probably just do what you want.
So at 10 o'clock, I say that's when we can take over and... But yeah, I think we'd be brilliant for it.
Yeah. I mean... Would you have to mention, every time you mentioned somebody from some party, you'd have to mention all the others, would you?
I don't think you do when the results are in.
Right.
I don't know the rules. We can look at the rules, but basically, I think we can make more of a party of it. Because Dimbleby, do you know what? He didn't look happy last night.
No. I mean, no, he'll still do it. We're not going to take his gig.
No, but I think I didn't enjoy seeing it. He was really stressing at one point last night.
He was. He was really grumpy last night at times, wasn't he?
When that fly came into the studio, he was...
Not happy.
Not happy.
Like, get the flies out! Anyway, write that down for the next election, whenever that might be.
Scott Mills.
We got the lads from Claydon, Chris, Rob, Josh and Adam and Stephen en route from Ipswich to somewhere in Scotland to attempt the Three Peaks Challenge tomorrow. They don't really know where they're going.
Is everyone having a physical one this weekend then?
Feels like it. Hang on, Becca from Portsmouth isn't. Her and her boyfriend Chris sat listening in the blazing sunshine where they got Radio 1 on outside a bar in Malta.
Nice.
Oh, lush. And also we've got Lucy on going, what did you say about Liam Payne on The Breakfast Show next week? I'll tell you about that in a minute. It's very exciting. Also, Matt in Manchester has just popped his IKEA cherry. Remember the first time you went to the Swedish superstore where dreams are made?
Oh, it was a nightmare.
Oh, no, I loved it. Because you go in for one thing. This is exactly what's happened to Matt. Went in for a chest of drawers, ends up with two chests of drawers, a lamp, a rug, a doormat, and some beer glasses.
I think it's different for everyone the first time, though. You know, for me, I ended up in a sort of one-way alley that I couldn't get back out of.
Well, yeah, because you shop stress you out, and like, that's your worst nightmare. Mm. Anyway, Matt's 23 years old. That's the highlight of his week so far.
This is Scott Mills. BBC Radio 1.
Hello, Claire.
Hello, Scott. Hi, Chris.
Hi.
You all right?
Yeah, good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, you?
Yeah,
you.
Yeah,
I'm all right, Babs, yeah.
No, I'm good, thank you.
Yeah. You're in Essex, aren't you?
Yes, Clacton-on-Sea.
Yeah, okay.
Are you excited for the weekend?
Yeah, you.
Plans? What are the plans?
Oh, I'm stuck at work tomorrow, and then there is a surprise baby shower at the weekend.
Okay, cool. And have you been doing a bit of shopping today, having a bit of me time?
Well, it's supposed to be me time, but I've just ended up buying things for my son, so not that successful for me.
That's all right, though.
Yeah.
Who do you normally go for on the bangers?
I used to go for Chris quite a lot, but recently it's kind of changed to you, apart from the other day with Blazing Squad.
Right, you agreed with that or not?
I agreed with that.
Yeah,
that
totally.
Was brilliant.
Yeah, was that good. Was that was a moment. That was yesterday. That was awesome. That was.
Yeah, I had that one at work. I was raving away in my workroom.
This is what I got for you today, Claire.
Girthy.
Girthy.
Girthy from you, Scott.
Disciples
like
Daylight.
Yeah.
Oh, that's naughty,
isn't it? Come on, Friday song, that is.
Friday song.
Yeah, that's a good choice. Do you know what? I've gone proper Friday. I say let's have a weekend, guys. I say let's have a bit of this.
Oh, God.
I think it's about time we got fully involved in summer. This is Wiley, Heatwave.
Yeah.
Like, lyrically, one of the best songs ever made.
Yeah.
With two flavours. That's your choice, Claire.
They're both good.
They're both really good. I'm going to have to, just for my memories, go with Chris, I'm afraid.
Yes!
Sorry, Scott.
Three times.
If I draw five for the day, then we ain't got to worry. We're nice for the day. Inspired by the sun, take flight for the day. Sipping a cold beer, sunshine in your face. Tell them no, say they want to wind up. I get behind her and she get wild up. She back it up good, but I try my luck. Winding up, gal is the vibe I love. When the sun's out, we just want to impress. I stand in the clear, don't bother with mess. If it ain't going to sell, I don't want to invest. If it ain't got a vibe, I ain't got an interest. I want to see an ice cream man on the road. I want to see a light skin girl on the road. I want to get slosh, probably with both flavors. Drink that, now I'm right back in my zone.
See, if those two songs were drinks, mine was more like a long mojito with a load of ice and a really cool bar in Ibiza.
Mm.
Yours is an apple sour in Zante.
It is. And I'm fine with that. In fact, give me two more.
€1?
It is. Tune.
But I can't lie, it's good. It sounded amazing today. Wiley, Heatwave. I mean, we've only done three this week, but Chris has won them all.
This is Scott Mills,
BBC Radio 1.
Right, it's Scott here. So it's a question we've been wanting to ask you all week, but we've not been allowed because we're not allowed to talk about elections until they happen. Now I can say what I want, within reason. not what I
that
want.
That will concern people.
Not what I want. But let me tell you another thing, no.
But anyway, yeah, it's a question. We were discussing this ourselves and we thought, do you know what? We'll ask this on Friday.
Here's what I really think. Turn the music off. I'm going to speak. I'm not.
Not now. You're not that kind of presenter, really, are you?
No, not really. I think it's a bit 90s, all that.
Mm.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to shock you now. Anyway, it's a brilliant question. And fair play to Julie Etchingham, obsessed with Etchingham, off of the news, for asking it in the first place. To Tresemme.
What's the naughtiest thing you ever did? Oh, goodness me. I'm not quite sure.
Well, there must have been a moment.
Nobody's ever perfectly behaved, are they? I mean, you know, I have to confess, when me and my friends sort of used to run through the fields of wheat, the farmers weren't too pleased about that.
No, but the beauty of this question is it is a difficult question because the first thought when you get asked... What's the naughtiest thing you've ever done?
Thing that comes to your head is feels
no,
wheat.
No, it's not. The first thing is the real naughty thing that you know's in your head, but you know you can't say to Julie.
That's true. Right, Tresemme was thinking of something real filth there.
Maybe. But you've got to say something safe. And it's an interesting one, this, because then someone asked Jeremy Corbyn, didn't they?
Yeah.
Jerry, what's the naughtiest thing you've done?
What's the naughtiest thing you've ever done?
What's the
It's far too naughty.
It's far too naughty to tell you.
But it's a fascinating question, this, because people aren't going to say what the naughtiest thing actually is.
No.
But they're going to have a safe story. Like, if I was to say to you, Scott, what is the naughtiest thing you've ever done?
Well, I'd think of the naughtiest thing, and then I'd tell you the thing that I would... There's kind of probably a few down the list.
Yeah, so you'd probably say, like, the time that you... I caught you, like, licking chips.
Yes.
That kind of thing, which is a safe story. Mm-hmm. It still sounds, like, slightly naughty.
Well, it's up there with fields of wheat, licking chips, isn't it?
So I can see why she's done the fields of wheat thing.
Thing is, because I know you really well, because you're my mate, I actually know what the naughtiest thing is that you've done.
Yes,
I do.
I know the naughtiest thing you've ever done, which I keep sort of, I keep it locked in my head for a time that if you ever sort of double cross me, I will release.
Right. Was that, What is it?
Like, let's say I take a holiday for a couple of weeks and I find I'm getting replaced or something like that, then you'll suddenly find that tweeted.
Well, I wouldn't be in charge of the replacing.
In fact,
I mean, I know, I'd have
no,
a
just
say.
So you know,
I would have a say.
Just so you know, this is a real thing. Do you know what the story is about yourself that I've got in my head?
No. I'm looking at you.
It involves...
Were you there?
It involves furniture.
Were you there for it?
I wasn't there.
Right.
No, I wasn't there.
Okay.
But if I was to say furniture...
Okay, yeah. Well, I didn't want you to give out clues.
In fact, this is almost a great game in itself. I'm interested to know what the listeners think is the naughtiest thing that Scott Mills has ever done.
See, I can't even really give out clues to yours because it's so naughty.
Right, and do you think even the slightest clue...
Will give it away. Yeah.
And were you there for it?
I wasn't there, no, but you told me all about it in detail.
Oh.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, you do.
Was it... No, actually, I'm not going to... Why am I digging a hole for myself?
If I was
here?
You. Let us know what the naughtiest thing you've done is. Obviously, it won't be the naughtiest thing, but, like, the next thing down on the list.
This is BBC Radio 1. Scott Mills.
Farting into a Pringles tube.
No!
Feels quite naughty.
No, I don't think we...
Feels quite naughty, that, doesn't it?
There's no name on that one, actually.
When me and my friends sort of used to run through the fields of wheat, the farmers weren't too pleased about that.
I don't think I'm ever going to tire of hearing that. This is BBC Radio 1. I mean, some of them are just awful. Like I said, you're not supposed to tell us the actual ones. Like, go a bit further down the list.
Well, maybe
these
are further down the list.
Well,
that's worrying.
Well, these people are wrong.
It's lucky they weren't interviewed.
I mean, Charlie on text says, listening to Mills and realising most people don't actually say the naughtiest thing they've ever done. I've been giving too much away. Yeah, you have. Mm. Hey, Lauren.
Hi.
Have you been naughty?
Just a little.
What was it?
Well, me and my friend were in our house just having a drink, having a laugh, as you do. So we got a little bit carried away and we noticed that one of our neighbours across the street was looking out her window, staring at us. And we were just thinking to ourselves, like, why is she staring over at us?
So you're in the house with your mate, you're having a couple of drinks, and you can see a lady staring from a window opposite.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
That's creepy. Mm.
Well, that's what we thought. So, I just thought, well, we'll give her something to stare at.
What did you do?
I just turned round and flashed my bum.
How did she react?
Well, I don't know. Like, she just kind of, like, kept staring. And I think she was in shock.
Right. Okay. Was this a skirt up or a pants down situation?
I think it was a skirt up situation.
Right. So easy to perform.
Yeah.
Good. And the funny thing about this question, right, is be honest now. Is that actually the naughtiest thing you've ever done? Or is that the only thing you can really tell us?
It's definitely not the naughtiest thing I've ever done, but it's the first thing that came to my head.
No, but that is... Exactly. That's the thing with that question. If you ever get asked, what is the naughtiest thing you've ever done? You can't really say the naughtiest thing you've ever done.
No. And then you end up saying about fields of wheat and that, don't you?
Yeah, that's where you end up with the fields of wheat. Are you proud or ashamed?
Neither, to be honest. I just think that was stupid, but funny.
It's your go-to naughty story?
Kind of, yeah.
Helen.
Hello.
Are you going to tell me the naughtiest thing you've ever done? Is it actually the naughtiest?
Definitely not the naughtiest, but the naughtiest repeatable thing I can say on radio.
It's worth having in your pocket, isn't it? A naughty story,
definitely,
naughty go-to
definitely.
Story.
What's yours?
Yes. When I was at primary school, I started a competition to sack the dinner lady for making a stain at lunchtime.
How formal.
And it was a little bit, wasn't it?
So you started a petition to get rid of one of the dinner ladies?
Yeah, because she kept us in at lunchtime and we felt really, or I particularly felt really affronted by that. So I set up literally a paper petition to have her sacked.
What did it say on it? Can you remember?
I think I actually must have looked at what you're supposed to put on petitions because it was like, we, the undersigned, wish that be removed from her job.
Wow. You tried to use legal terms, didn't you?
Like, you're using kind of solicitor speak here.
I know. Mortifying.
Did the petition work?
No. Somebody found out and dobbed us into the head teacher, and then everybody who had anything to do with it was called in, and we were in
quite
a lot of trouble.
All the undersigned got in trouble.
Well, some people got wind of the fact that that we were going to get in trouble and scribbled their names off.
That's such a school thing to do. Oh, I'm going to get detention. Scribble it off.
Yeah, so those of us who were still brave enough to have our name on the piece of ripped out A4 paper had to go and see the head teacher.
On a scale of 1 to 10 then, how naughty is that story compared to the naughtiest thing you've ever done?
Maybe a 4.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
You are naughty, aren't you?
Did it all get legal up in the tens?
We probably won't go there.
It was illegal.
No, I don't know.
Okay, good. Okay. I was only joking.
Yeah, it was a joke. But
moving on.
Love you, bye.
Bye.
Let's lose her now. Still not as good as...
Used to run through the fields of wheat.
Scott Mills.
And here's Greg. Hello.
Ooh, hello.
Hello.
Ooh.
What a week.
What a week.
All ready for a weekend, I think, right?
I think we're all ready for that. And, I mean, I don't really like change, so I'm imagining that Despacito will still be number one, or maybe not.
I'm not telling you that now.
No?
It would render the next 2 hours pointless.
Actually, you're right.
There's plenty going on today's official chart from 4 o'clock today.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one today with Greg. From four, find out what your favourite song is on the official chart. Here is Real or No Real. Today, it's an election special. Because you've not had enough of it, I don't think.
In yesterday's general election, Liberal Democrat leader Tim Farron faced a challenge for his seat from a fish finger.
There's always someone wacky.
It's wacky, yeah. It's
always wacky.
It's a little bit wacky.
Do you know what I mean?
It's a bit Bath of Beans at times.
It does. It goes a bit, a bit Children in Need at times, you know what I mean?
I mean, I'm all for it. The stuff that people really love during the election coverage is when, you know, a fly is bothering David Dimbleby, stuff like that.
Well, everyone liked it apart from him.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was high drama because it was a live broadcast, right? I think just some of the wackiness around some of the candidates, I don't know where I stand on it, really.
But it's great, though, because I like all the... It's so British and so traditional.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. It's like for one day, the whole country turns into a village fete.
Yes.
That's what I loved about voting, actually. It was kind of weird because when you vote, you have to vote... Generally, it's like a school...
Library or halls
or like quite old school places.
Yeah,
you know, if you're lucky enough to be able to vote in a school, it's kind of weird going back to school.
But it is mad that's how things are decided.
Yes,
that we have to go and like, it's a piece of paper with a pencil.
Yeah,
and you are just putting a cross in a box. That is mad. That it's 2017. Get an app.
I agree. Same for radio listening figures. What a load of nonsense.
Is it the same?
Yeah,
I'm
you have to
sure.
fill in. You have to fill in a form or something.
Really?
Yeah, with a pencil. That's accurate.
You know.
Anyway, so did Tim Farron off of the Lib Dems face a challenge for his seat from a fish finger?
They do have these sort of rogue candidates on there, or like alternative candidates.
Are the monster raving loony party still on?
I
think they are.
I think they are.
I'm sure they must. I think I saw them on the ballot paper I was looking at.
Did you put your? Were you tempted to put your cross there?
I'm not telling you where I put my little cross. Scott, you going to tell everyone?
No.
Greg,
I would if I was allowed.
Yeah.
But that would be my last
show.
We're
not allowed.
Fishfinger. Not allowed.
Fishfinger. Say you vote for.
No.
All right. Okay.
Definitely not allowed to say who you voted
for. No, you're not.
Yeah.
No, that would be. It's like sackable.
Yes.
Annoyingly, it is.
It is. Yeah. Lib Dems. Tim Farron faces off with a fish finger. Greg, real or no real?
I'm going to say that is. I don't remember seeing this on any of the coverage, and I watched pretty much all of it.
You didn't vote for the fish finger, then?
I didn't vote for the fish finger.
He's
I can say that.
Say.
Actually, no, I'm not allowed to say.
You can't say that.
I'm not allowed to say that.
He didn't say either way.
I may or may not have voted for the fish finger. But I don't know if it's real. No real.
I'm not sure. I'm just going to say no real.
That one's real.
It's true. Mr. Fishfinger, who changed his name by deed poll, got... In the Westmoreland and Lonsdale constituency, guess how many votes?
Oh, I don't know, 3?
309.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Mr. Fishfinger there.
I'm trying to think of a deed poll fish pun, but I can't.
And next...
Deed Pollock?
Mansfield had its own version of the Oscars envelope gate at its election count last night after the returning officer announced the wrong winning candidate.
Oh, no. If we're talking about changes to the sort of election night and the way, voting and that, how about some better presenters for on stage as well?
Oh, yeah, but they're not presenters.
Oh,
they're
no, sorry,
sort of...
I didn't mean the BBC coverage or anything. No, that was exceptional. Mm. No, what I'm talking about is when they cut there and it's like, and so party, it's like it's mumbled out.
Yeah, but they're
and
but
also
the
as I said on Twitter, terrible suits.
Yeah, okay, I see your point. However, they're sort of officials, aren't they? Then their job isn't to present. Their job is to make sure that there's no fraud.
Yeah, but you can have the official. It's like the lottery. The official person just stands next door wearing a glove.
What, you think you should get Joey Essex to do it or something?
No,
just send out a swarm of
presenters. The best presenter from from the constituency. So it could be Dale Winton.
Oh, like Christmas lights.
Yes.
So you're saying get the pantomime dame to announce the results in the constituency.
No, not pantomime, because I just think the best suited presenter. So sometimes with Pinner, where my family are from, that would be maybe Lee Latchford Evans.
I would like the dame to do it. Oh, which cross you put the box in?
Yeah.
Let's find out.
Or your Stacey Solomons, yeah. You know?
Oh, he gets my vote.
Solid, safe pair of hands.
Yes.
Real or no real? Did they announce the wrong winning candidate and they had a bit of an envelope gate situation in Mansfield?
It's bound to happen at some point. I'm going to go real.
Probably real.
Okay.
That one is real.
It's true. Bound to happen with 650 seats up for grabs, wasn't it? Acting returning officer Jacqueline Collins mistakenly declared Labour's candidate, Sir Alan Meal, had been elected before saying, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I declared that Benjamin David Bradley has been elected. I do apologise."
Wow. Good impression.
Thank you.
Of Jackie Collins.
Scott Mills.
I genuinely don't think there's a better video on the internet than Jeremy Corbyn hitting Emily Thornberry in the breast.
No.
By accident. I don't think there's a better one.
I mean, obviously a mistake. It's really funny. It doesn't get old.
It's ludicrous.
It doesn't get old. Neither does this.
I have to confess, when me and my friends sort of used to run through the fields of wheat, the farmers weren't too pleased about that.
It's so good. What a strange
week. It's been a big week.
What a country we live in.
Indeed. Okay, I know who you voted for.
are you
Maidenhead? Buckethead.
What? No.
Did you go Buckethead?
Why are you doing this? He was on my ballot paper.
I know.
I'm not allowed to say who I didn't vote for, so don't suggest.
Why have you got a bucket on your head?
All right.
What?
No.
Why have you got a bucket on your head today?
To show your support. In fact, it's
don't
all about...
Don't you start, Scott, or I'll...
Don't even. There's still your surprise.
Remember that picture I sent you?
Okay,
all right.
So he features in today's final Real or No Real.
In the Maidenhead seat, electoral candidate Lord Buckethead promised in his manifesto to nationalise Adele.
I actually think that you might be Lord Buckethead, Chris.
You're not allowed to say that.
No, but we're
not allowed to
confirm.
You're not allowed to say that.
Not allowed to confirm it, but I have never seen you and Lord Buckethead in the same room.
I'm just looking, producer. Am I allowed to confirm or deny that I am Lord Buckethead?
Not allowed
to.
No.
Surely I'm allowed to deny that I am.
What, for impartiality reasons, we can say that you may or may not be Lord Buckethead.
It's like the Stig.
Yeah. He's the political Stig.
I feel like I can't defend myself here, and not that I need to defend myself.
What a great idea, though. Nationalising Adele.
What does that mean?
I don't even know what that means.
I don't know either.
Does that mean that we all.
Not privatising.
You know, it means we all make money from her.
Does it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, I think it does.
Does that mean it's for the many? Or like,
yeah, we will all make money off Adele. Mm. So
We could all do with that.
That'll get spent back into, finding the next Adele.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, I agree. Why should she keep it all for herself? We should have some.
Yeah.
So what do you think? Real or no real?
I wonder whether Lord Buckethead ran that past her, first of all. The guy, he just turns up to Adele's house.
What are you doing here?
I would like to privatise you.
Really?
Nationalise you, sorry.
Not privatise.
I'd like to privatise you.
Chris, real or no real?
Greg, what are you going for?
I have no idea what we're even doing anymore.
Go on.
Well, what are you going for?
Real, probably.
No, I'll go real. Go on.
That one is real.
It's true. He said, in order to maximise the efficient use of UK resources, the time is right for Great British assets to be brought into public ownership for the common good. He also promised free bikes for everyone. At the end of that round of real or no real?
Well, Corbyn high fives all round. It's a draw. 30 apiece.
Scott Mills.
We're in for Grimmie all next week on the Radio 1 Breakfast Show. Join us Monday morning from 6:30. Scott Mills.